I have had a revelation, and I'm going to share it with you about worrying. Also, a big, huge Gaza fail. Is this the event that's finally going to bring about the ceasefire? And let's face it, if you don't own a home right now in America, you can't afford one.
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell, and I am so very glad to be joining you today that I'm able to stand up and just be here with you. No attorney yet will take the case. Got a couple more calls today. It's amazing how GlaxoSmithKline is insulated from this sort of thing, but we're going to keep trying. I'm still functioning. I'm still up and around. GBS has not gotten me yet, knock wood. Say prayers, whatever you can do. Send positive energy out that this is winding down, that I'm on the end of this. Four weeks to the day yesterday, Tuesday, that I got the shingles vaccine, got shingles the day after, got meningitis, got neuropathy, went into the hospital. It's just been a mess. But we are trying to get through. I've lost all of March. I don't want to lose all of April. All right. So during this time, I've had a revelation, and I want to share it. I want to start the show with it today. And this is mainly for my patrons and for all of you that have sent me wonderful emails that say I've been with you since KFI or I've been with you since KGO. So you know me. And you know that the show is very personal to me. It's not like a Stephanie Miller or a David Pakman. I don't just rehash what's in the news or the comedic take or whatever. I let you into my world, and hopefully it resonates in yours. And hopefully what I'm about to say and what I'm about to talk about will resonate within just one of you. If just one of you can get the revelation that I had. And you know when you get a revelation, you just want to tell everybody. You want to tell the world. Just want to, can't you feel a brand new day? You want to go. So I've had a lot of dark thoughts of late. And because depression is one of the side effects of having shingles and meningitis. It actually is a side effect. And I've had a lot of time to rest and to think. And a lot of dreams. I've had a lot of vivid dreams, even though I take cannabis to sleep. And I had one the other night. Now, you all know, if you know me, that I have been plagued with anxiety, in particular medical anxiety, and that there are days where it is crippling, where I literally spend the whole day taking my blood pressure or thinking I have cancer or, you know, whatever it might be. And I had a dream the other night. And, you know, dreams are the way that your body processes things. And ever since that dream, ever since I woke up, things in my life have been different. And I have to share this with you because I can only hope this is a lasting effect. A lot of us are worried, and rightfully so. The country's going in the wrong direction. We have a wannabe dictator that could take power. Climate change. It's going to bring about food insecurity. There's so much going on. Money is just way too tight to even imagine. And you're worried. If you're not worried, you're not paying attention. And a little bit of worry is okay. A little bit, a tiny bit. But when you take it to the degree that I take it, then it's not okay. When it starts ruining your life, ruining your mood, or becoming all you think about, like you just worry all the time, that is robbing you of life. That is taking away the precious time, which is all that we have. And it takes it away. So I had a dream the other night, very powerful. I was the teacher in the dream. I was in a classroom. I remember this vividly. It was so vivid. And I was the teacher at the front of the class. And then I was the student. I was the only student. And the class was about worrying. Why worry? Medical anxiety and anxiety as a whole. And in this dream, I asked myself, and it was me talking to me, I asked myself a lot of questions. And when I woke up, I was so moved, I started crying in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. I'm not making this up. Ember activated. She woke up. She got up and triggered because she won't let me cry. That's part of her job, is to avoid panic attacks and crying and all that. So she woke up. And let me tell you what happened. In my life, I have worried about a lot of things, but there have been some themes. Outside of the medical anxiety, which let's start with that. I have worried about cancer, about polycythemia, about AIDS back in the 80s and 90s. You know, am I going to get it? Do I have it? Taking a test every 6 months because Andrew was positive and I was negative and just on and on. I have worried about dying since I started living. My parents were both handicapped. I always worried about their health. Are they going to die? Keeping my mother alive, keeping my father alive, keeping Andrew alive, keeping my friends alive with HIV/AIDS. There was always so much worry. And in the dream, my teacher self said to my seated self, and how did all that turn out? All that worry. And I said, well, mom died, dad died, Andrew died, all of my friends died. And so my teacher self said to myself, so what good did that worry do you? You know, not being concerned, not taking action. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, healthy worry where it spurs you to action or whatever. I'm talking about debilitating all day down in the dumps kind of worry. And my teacher self said to myself, and how did it end up? I said, well, they all died. Another thing I have worried about since I was a kid was being alone, growing older alone. Or just being alone. It's why I filled Park Howard with tons of people. It's why I always have friends, why I won't go do anything by myself. I hate to be alone. And so I had friends like Karen or Ken or Dennis Cope that I let treat me in ways that weren't good for me, but I let them do it because I was afraid they'd leave. I was afraid that after all these years, I would end up alone without a close circle of friends. All by myself. And my teacher self said to myself, and how did that turn out? And I said, I'm alone in Las Vegas. I don't talk to Karen. I don't talk to Ken. I don't talk to Dennis Cope. I talk to Steve here in Vegas, and I have a few other friends. And I still have friends in California, Daniel Charleston, Daniel Emspa, other friends like that, David Etheridge in Florida that I still talk to on a daily basis, Hannah that I still talk to on a daily basis. But my core group, Karen, Ken, and Dennis Cope, the rider dies, I don't speak to them anymore. And so my teacher self said, so all the worry in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, all the things you did to keep those friendships going, how did that turn out? And I said, well, they're gone. And then it went back to the medical worry. Did you ever worry about shingles, meningitis, GBS? And neuropathy, all of which now you've, and I was like, no, I never worried about that. And yet that's what puts you in the hospital. That's what was trying to kill you. And yet you never spent a moment worried about that. And so I woke up with the words in my head, worrying is pointless. I won't forget it. It was like engraved in a part of my brain. Worrying is pointless because no matter what, it's not going to turn out the way that you think it's going to, and something else is probably going to complicate it or come along, something that you didn't worry about. And that's been so powerful that now when the monsters start, when that baby Huey in my head starts to run amok, I just hold up my hand and say, worrying is pointless. Action, you know, if there's something wrong with me, with Ember, or whatever, act upon it. But don't just sit around and worry about it. And if it's not something you can act upon, if it's not something you can change, if the outcome is out of your hands, then stop worrying immediately. And it's worked. For the last 4 days, I have felt less worry than in the last 40 years. And I have things I would normally be worried about. My face has been having some sensations. That could be GBS. It could be MS. It could, you know, this shingles and meningitis could have done all kinds of things to my nervous system. I've let it go. It's going to be what it's going to be. See the doctors and deal with it. Donald Trump. I'm not worried about Trump winning. I'm not. If he wins, he wins. We'll live through it. We live through Reagan. We live through one Trump. If it gets so bad, some of us will leave or we'll move back to blue states like California or Oregon or Washington. We'll protect ourselves. I'm no longer worried about him. He's either going to go to jail or win the presidency or lose. And I'm not worried about MAGA. There are only 70 million people. If they take over, it's because there's not enough good people in this country to stop them. And that means I don't want to be here anyway. So why worry about that? My aorta. I have been panic-stricken ever since I found out it's growing and I might need open-heart surgery. Well, yeah, you might one day. And you might die. But most people live, and you're not at that point yet. So worry when you get there. It has been so liberating. Worrying is pointless. Worrying about money, worrying about the economy, worrying about where you're going to be in 5 years, worrying about your future, it's pointless. It's pointless because it's unwritten and you don't know how it's going to go. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare for things. There's a big difference between worrying and preparing. And you, only you know which is which and which is healthy. And like I said, a little worrying is normal. A little worrying is natural. But not to the degree we've all been taking it to. We are so worried now about everything that everybody is split and angry. And the only people having a great life are the rich, including the 253 billionaires that were made over the last year. 253 people, including Taylor Swift, over the last year joined the Billionaires Club. So now there's 8,540 billionaires in the world. And they run everything. And I could worry about that, but why? We won't take them out. We won't take their money. So we have to live, and we have to survive, and we have to be happy. Most of us aren't. And it's the worrying that is killing us. We are worried about climate change, and we should be. But look, I compost. I'm a vegan. I drive a motor scooter that gets 70 miles to the gallon. I'm doing all I can for the planet. I can no longer worry that the planet's not going to meet the goals and all that. That's out of my hands. I can't control 8 billion people. All I can do is prepare, be ready. So I want you to repeat after me, worrying is pointless. In today's world, it is pointless to worry about anything really, because all of it's obscene and obtuse. None of it's in our control. And even if we worry about it, it doesn't turn out the way that we expect. So let that go. Let the worry go. Let the worry about Trump go. Let it go. He's either going to win or not. He'll either be, and if he wins, either he'll be taken out, he'll be overthrown, he'll be impeached, or he'll create a horrible country. But in any case, you're going to have to live and you're going to have to survive. And unless you have the resources to flee, you're going to have to do it here. Don't worry. Prepare. Insulate yourself. Protect yourself from the dangers of Donald Trump. Most of you aren't going to have abortions. If you're gay, most of you are living in a place where, you know, the state's going to protect you even if Donald Trump doesn't. Stop worrying so much. Because it doesn't matter. We're going to die. You and I are going to die. We are going to die. Either today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, in 10 years, 20 years, we're going to die. Stop worrying about it. It's going to happen. Stop worrying about tomorrow. It's not a given. Worrying is pointless. The revelation has been something to me. It really has. And I hope that you, you know, I mean, right now, my legs are tingling. Is it GBS? I don't know. I can't worry about it anymore. If I end up on a respirator, I do. If I die, I die. I can't. Worry robs you of life. And if you're worrying about death, then that just becomes every day. That's your whole, no, I can't do it anymore. And neither can you. You gotta stop. It's pointless. Prepare. Take action, be at peace, and remember, worrying is pointless. It's pointless. So stop. What a revelation. It's changed my life. I hope you guys can get to where I'm at. It's life-changing. Hey, Karell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Karell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallykarell. That's patreon.com/reallykarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallykarell. There's so much great free content there, it's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Karell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallykarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallykarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support to the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can. By the way, I'm not, you know, living in a dream world thinking, don't worry, be happy, and suddenly you're going to be... No. But when you find yourself spiraling into worry, remind yourself how pointless it is. Just, it's pointless. It doesn't change the outcome of anything at all. Worrying has never once changed the outcome. Action has, preparation has, but worry? No. It's never changed an outcome. Let it go. Let it alone. You know, I worried about Gaza and Israel for a long time when it first started. I did. I worried about it. All the people dying and the children. And it was so horrible. And I felt terrible. And how's it going to end? I've let it go. Yesterday or 2 days ago, now it was Monday. 2 days ago, 7 aid workers from the kitchen, that World Kitchen, died because Israel is committing genocide. And I'm tired of sugarcoating that. I'm tired of worrying about what some of you, my listeners, might think because I'm using those words. I don't care anymore. Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. So much so that a U.S. senator said to nuke it. Just nuke the Gazans. You know, this is not about hostages anymore. This is about retribution, retaliation. This is about revenge and about killing as many Palestinians as they possibly can. While Bibi Netanyahu is going under regular surgery to have a hernia repaired, and he's just, you know, he's having his life in a state-of-the-art hospital, and meanwhile, he's destroyed almost every hospital. He's a disgrace. Israel is behaving in a disgraceful fashion, and I don't care if that upsets some of you Jews. However, I know that a majority of you Jews listening agree with me because now there are protests happening in Israel against Netanyahu and against what is going on. The United States has joined the UN in calling for a ceasefire. Israel's actions are now reprehensible. They need to stop or be stopped. And we just shipped them weapons and should not have. Joe Biden needs to have a come to Jesus moment where he says, no, I'm cutting them off. If he wants to win the presidency, he needs to cut off Israel until they stop killing innocent people. And that's what they're doing. No hostage's life is worth the life of an innocent person. I'm sorry. You know, killing Hamas? Yes. Getting rid of Hamas? Absolutely yes. But they can't do it in a surgical fashion. Instead, they're like a broad-spectrum antibiotic. They're killing everything in order to get to one germ. Well, that hurts a body when you do that. When you take a broad-spectrum antibiotic to kill one germ, you have to take probiotics because you're killing the good bacteria in you. It's the same thing that's happening in Gaza. They're using the broadest spectrum to try to get Hamas, and it's killing 30, 40,000 innocent people, children. It must stop. And the only way it stops is for the world to say, no, Israel, you're now behaving reprehensibly. Yes, you had a just cause. And yes, what happened to you was horrible. The attack on the music festival, on the kibbutz, all of that was terrible. And the sexual molestation of the prisoners, of the hostages, and all of that, it's terrible. But that's on Hamas. Now your deeds are overshadowing Hamas. You're making Hamas look like a victim, and that's not good. It is time for Israel to pull out and to stop bombing, to give back the occupied territories, and to work towards a two-state solution. And if they can't do that, then they should lose the support of the world. But the people in Israel want that. The people in Israel don't want to be killing innocent people anymore, and they are revolting against Netanyahu. The rest of the world wants Israel to stop killing innocent people. And yes, we want Hamas to give back the hostages now, today. Give them back now. But if they don't, are you really willing to wipe out an entire group of people because of it? It appears the answer there is yes. And I'm done worrying about that. If they won't stop, then they're reprehensible and should be treated as such. And if they do stop, then everything should be done to get those hostages home and to help the people of Gaza and the West Bank. They're starving. There's famine. They're being blown to bits. They have no homes to go back to. There's mass devastation. Israel should be embarrassed about what it has done. Period. Meanwhile, in our country, you can't afford a house. You know, we're sending billions over to Israel and to Ukraine. And meanwhile, over here, you can't afford a house. New research shows in the major cities that you want to live, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose, New York, Boston, you've got to make $200,000 a year to qualify or buy a home. The problem? The median income in America is $74,000. In cities outside of the ones I just named, like Las Vegas and others, you have to make $100,000 a year to buy a home. And you're not. Most of you are not making that. And so if you've got a house now, you're keeping it. And if you don't have a home, you're finding it nearly impossible to buy one. Now, corporations could fix this in a minute. A, they could up all of your salaries. You know, they're screaming in California because now fast food workers make $20 an hour. In Las Vegas, to live comfortably, it's $94,000 a year or $45 an hour. Minimum wage needs to be $40 an hour. And if you can't afford to pay your employees that, then you can't afford to do business. Well, so many businesses would close. Yep. And maybe that would send the message to corporate America that, guess what? You got to pay more because there are billionaires being made, 253 just this last year alone. The heads of companies are rolling in the dough. You know, stockholders are rolling in the dough. It's like private equity firms. Do you know that private equity firms control 2/3 of all emergency rooms in the country? It's why I got such shitty service at Spring Valley. It's why so many of you get such crappy service because private equity firms control ERs, and they're making a fortune by not expanding care, not making it a nicer experience, not giving you the treatments you need, denying you care. They're making fortunes. And meanwhile, you suffer. So there's so many facts here that I wrote down. In 2020, you needed $59,000 to afford a house. Now it's $106,000 to afford a house. The median income is $74,000 a year. In Seattle, New York, Boston, LA, San Francisco, you need $200,000 to afford a house. There were 263 new billionaires made last year. And basically, 2/3 of America cannot afford to own a home. And we think that's okay. We are not rallying the White House about these figures. We haven't demanded that interest rates be brought down in the housing market. We haven't demanded anything. We haven't stopped investors and equity firms from buying up all the houses. We haven't stopped foreign investors like China, Russia, all of those places from buying up our cities, buying up our neighborhoods. We are sitting by and letting ourselves be priced out of our own country. And again, Well, what could I do, Carell? A lot. The only issue we should be talking about to a politician are the basics. Air. Clean air. You got to have clean air. Water. You got to have clean water. And that includes lead pipes and all of that. Food. Those are the three things you got to have. Air, water, food. Well, food, as you know, has become hugely unaffordable. Then what else does a human need? Shelter. And we can't afford it. Even rents are too high. So the things that we need, the four things that a human needs to actually survive, air, water, shelter, and food, are the only things that government should be involved in. That's it. Clean air, clean water. That includes solving the water crisis for the West. Stop ignoring that the Colorado River is going away. Where are the aquifers coming from places where there is a lot of water? Where are the desalinization plants that we need as the oceans rise? We could use that water. Where are the innovative things? Getting water from more underground sources. There's an ocean underground that we haven't tapped into. Bringing water here from the asteroids, from the Kuiper Belt. Where's the innovation? As humans, there's only four things we should be concerned with. Air, water, food, shelter. Those are the four basic things a human needs to survive. And yet, if you look at all the metrics, we can't access those things. We can't access shelter. That's why there's all the homeless. You and I are barely holding on to our houses by a thread. Clean air. You know, we don't have clean air in most cities now. We're letting the oil companies and China, Russia, all of that. Clean water. Corporations are buying up all the water. Pretty soon, you will have to deal with a corporation if you want water to open your tap. Mexico City's running out of water. South Africa running out of water. Major cities running out of water. Air, water, shelter. You can't afford a home in the United States unless you make money that corporations are not willing to give you. How many corporations, you know, I read that if you're over 60 and need a job, that only 85% of us won't get one. We will go the rest of our lives trying to get a job, but if you're over 60, you won't get one. Why can't we make opportunities for people over 60 to work again, to have income if they want or need? Why can't we force corporations to pay what it takes to live in America? If $100,000 is what it takes to live, then that's what a starting salary should be. Why do we think that only executives deserve $200,000 a year? Why do we, there's trillions of dollars in our economy tied up by 853 billionaires. What do we do about it? We worry. Worry is not action. Worry is not doing something about it. It's why so many of us want to leave this country. We don't see a way out. We don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe there isn't one. Maybe the actual solution is to leave the country and go work somewhere where your wages will actually give you a nice life. Because don't we all deserve a nice life? This is our time on planet Earth. This is it. I don't, you know, unless I'm reincarnated, I don't come back. This is it. If you're not having a good time on the planet right now, you're never gonna. And you deserve a good time. I deserve a good time. Life shouldn't be so hard. And the only reason it is, corporations and money. That has to change. That has to change. And I don't know how you and I can change it on a grand scale, but I know we can change it on a personal scale. All right, well, today is Wednesday. Friday is coming up. I'll be here with you on Friday. I am Carell. You be who you want to be, so long it doesn't hurt anybody. Thank you all patrons at patreon.com/reallycarell. If you're not a patron, please become one. Let's do a call, patron. Let's pick a day and do a call. It'll be great fun. Let's do it before I pass away. Mwah! See you soon.
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.